You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
And welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. Be sure you get over to kevinsmithshow.com and check out everything that's on our website. Lots of good stuff there. But the most important thing for you to do when you get over there is to click on that link that's in big red letters that says subscribe to the K-Files e-zine. It's absolutely free. It's our newsletter that comes out each and every week. And then you'll be in the loop. You won't be out of the loop. You'll be in the loop, and that's the place to be, all right? You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It's truly free. No strings attached. You know, genetics is a really interesting world. It really is a world unto itself in science. And there are some scientists in California that have had a true breakthrough in genetic experiments. They have learned how to extend the life of organisms by 10 times. And of course, that's not the same thing as if making humans live 10 times longer. But once you can do it with one organism, you can keep working at it till you can do it with lots of organisms. The study is going to be published this week in the Library of Science. The Library Journal of Science Genetics. I think that's what it's called, and it's one of the statements that I found very interesting here is by the chief scientist Longo, is his name, Dr. Longo. And it says, we're very, very far from making a person live to 800 years of age. I don't think it's going to be very complicated to get to 120 and remain healthy. But at a certain point, I think it will be possible to get people to live to 800. I don't think there's an upper limit to the life of any organism. How about them apples, folks? Imagine, right now, if you could live to be 120, some people do anyway, but, most of us don't. And then imagine if you could live to be 800 years old. Now, that's old. People used to, if the Bible accounts are true and if ancient Sumerian accounts are true, people used to live that long. And then there was apparently some kind of genetic alteration that took place in us and our lifespan was cut down. It would be, imagine what you could learn in 800 years. It would be astounding. We'll be back right after this. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel OnStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments. So click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. I'll be there in the morning light. My guest this evening is Becky Lewis. Becky has, I would say, a really pretty amazing story to tell. I didn't get a chance to get into all of that with her, but we will tonight. And some amazing photographs that she's taken as well. These photographs were taken in her backyard. They are displayed on my website. Now, if you haven't seen them, then click over to KevinSmithShow.com and scroll down. You'll see the little blurb about tonight's show and a picture of Becky. And then just keep scrolling down a little bit. You'll see the photograph she sent me of this UFO. Becky, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, hello, and how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I appreciate you sharing these photographs with us.
I don't have a connection with you here, and this is the same phone that you called me on And so you might want to try to call me back. I'm not
all right, we'll do that, and we'll see if we can get a better connection. And, okay, what are we going to do? I guess what we're going to do is we will listen to some music for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, call it gremlins and demons in the phone line, I guess. Anyway, we've got Becky back on with us. Can you hear me okay now, Becky?
I can hear you just fine, and that is the first time I have ever had that problem with this phone.
Okay.
Honest.
Well, you know, we're accustomed to strange things happening with our electronics here on this show, so it's no big deal. I was saying that you took some very strange, well, let me say, some photos of something very strange in the sky. I've posted those on the website, and folks are taking a look at them as we speak. Now, if you will, tell us what part of the country are we looking at? What that, those photographs are in, from your backyard. What part of the country are you in?
Yeah, I'm in central Indiana.
Okay.
Right outside of Indianapolis.
Right outside of where?
Indianapolis.
All right. You have a little rookie quarterback up there by the name of Peyton Manning, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Rookie, huh?
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, before we get into the story about the UFO, his father used to be the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, which is my favorite football team. And so anything with the name Manning on it, I like it.
Well, that, then I guess you really enjoy their family, don't you?
I do. I do. Okay, so how did you happen to take this photograph?
Well, actually, as I had written along with the photo, that photo was actually an accident. I had no idea that I captured what appears to be a craft. What I was trying to shoot was the orbs. I have so many orbs in this backyard and many other strange things as well. I was going to send you up some other photos, but I wasn't able to get the internet to work at the time I was trying to send up the other one. So, but I've caught, well, what appears to be like a mist or a fog, you know, more like a big swirly kind. And then there's been times it's been like a jet streak, you know. I've caught many different colored orbs, and I've been doing this for about 3 years now. And what I've gathered so far is that, one, they are absolutely sentient. They do respond. And if I ask one to come closer, they'll come closer. I only see them when they actually move. And all the time I've done this, I could only see one while it was sitting still. And most of the other times, I just see them when they actually move. So when I caught the UFO, it was one of my normal dawn shoots that I would go out in dawn, you know, just before it starts getting light. And I put my hands way up over my head to capture these orbs I could see shooting up. And I didn't want them to get away, and I'm pretty short. So I just put my hands over my head as high as I could and shot up towards the area. And then when I took the picture, I didn't see the UFO. Normally, I will review pictures as I take them, but since I had just gotten started, I didn't want to take the time to do that, you know. So upon reviewing later, that's when we found that. But there's been some, well, we've caught what Jose Escamilla calls the rods.
Mm-hmm.
And I've caught red snake-looking things that are, I don't know what they are. It looks like a light snake or something, you know, at night. And most of the things I've captured that are anomalous have been in one general zone of the yard. But there have been many places that we've gone, particular places on the block or whatever, there will be a house that has a lot of orbs and all the rest of the place doesn't, you know.
What do you think they are?
They're out there. You know, for the longest time, I believed that they were, you know, spirits, because how I got started with this was, accidentally catching one. And I had three pets die within a short period of time. And so we went out to the gravesite here in the yard and took pictures, you know, to see if there was orbs, because, you know, just to check and see. if they were around, because we had caught one previously. And by gosh, there were three orbs. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, this is crazy. So we started taking pictures. And shortly thereafter, I would watch the cats, because you know how cats are. You always see your cat looking at stuff that you don't think is there, but they know it's there.
Yeah.
And so one picture I got outside was of the cats. There were like three cats in the picture, and even though it was dark, because of the flash, you can see their eyes, and you can see where they're looking. And where they're looking, you can see the orbs. So they see them, you know.
Well, what about this? Were they responding at all to this, looking towards this UFO or anything like that?
Well, now, I didn't have any cats or anything in my view then, and I didn't know it was there. But I am beginning to wonder if they either change into, you know, whatever they want or what, because I finally did capture just a few nights ago. Maybe actually it's been about a week or so ago. I finally captured the picture I've been waiting for all this time, and it was to see an orb actually changing into this mist form. You know, instead of either being the mist or the orb, or the mist with the orbs in it, this was actually an orb with the whole misty tail, and it was out, it was like out and going around another bigger orb that was with it. And so I wanted to get that picture to you because it was really, really pretty. But, you know, there's just a lot of strange things out there, and I think our yard might be extra sensitive, perhaps, my husband believes, because it's triangulated, you know, with wires, you know, the electric wires, and the fact that we're over a huge well. So, you know, a lot of people believe that wells attract phenomena, and who knows, maybe things live down there. I mean, a lot of people have seen UFOs coming out of water.
You know, when I look at the I've got two photographs that you sent of this UFO, and actually one of the photographs is an enlargement taken out of the first photograph. But if we talk about this first photograph, it looks like there's a comet or something right in the middle of the thing.
Right, those were the orbs I was trying to capture. Those were what I was shooting at, except I didn't see all the little ones. I just saw like three of them, and that's why I put my hands up over my head as fast as I could to take the shot, because they were already out, you know, they were headed out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I could see them, because they were moving.
And you know. Now these orbs that you see from your backyard, or in your backyard, these are... You can see them with the naked eye, right?
Well, that's why I say I've only seen one with the naked eye, you know, sitting still, and it was purple, and it was dark out, so, you know, we could barely see it. But, the only time I can actually see them is when they move. And so when I go outside to take pictures, I'll just stand for a while and look around until I see movement. Because a lot of people see things, and they don't even realize, you know, they think they see something, and they look, and it's not there. Well, I say, if you think you saw something, you did see something, because your eyes aren't really playing tricks on you. And I think I have a viable theory on why people can see things out of the corner of their eye and not head-on when they look at it. And I believe it's because, you know, how everything has a wavelength. And so the side view of your eye is going to have a slightly different wavelength to it than looking head on. So perhaps it's, you know, people see things out of the side or the corner of their eye, you know, because it's more along that wavelength that captures it. And then when they look straight on, they don't see it anymore.
That makes sense. I think it does. It sounds logical.
Well,
this UFO, you've looked at it a lot longer than the rest of us have. We've only had it today to look at, and some people are seeing it for the first time right now. But as you look at this thing, I mean, it I'm comparing it to the motion of the orb, which obviously is moving, or it looks like it's moving upward because there's a tail behind it. And when you look at this UFO, it looks as if maybe it's moving or morphing, maybe changing shapes or something. I don't know. I've never seen one that looks quite like this.
Well, see, neither have I, and I did have a major UFO experience in Idaho in 1983, and there were 10 craft, and they were the most unusual one I had ever seen or even heard of up until then. They were pyramids, and I mean not triangles, but pyramids. But anyway, this particular craft, I told my husband, you know, when we first saw it, I thought it looked like it was the shape of a Pringles potato chip. But some of the email we got from having had the picture posted before, the people thought it looked like a pancake, and some people thought, you know, it looked like a leaf. And I thought maybe their resolution wasn't very clear, because to me, I see very distinctly, I see a dome on this craft. I see three objects, you know, protruding out the side. I see how the back end curves around like a really sleek car that somebody might have, you know, a hot rod. It is beautiful, and it looks to me like it's flat up underneath, and then maybe has some kind of edge that comes down. But my husband's an architect, and he did some kind of a special drawing on it to where what it would look like, you know, if you were to turn it around, or maybe turn it up and hopefully see what it looks like underneath. But you know, of course, that's speculation, and going by the angles that the ship followed. And he's very, very well adept at doing that task, and he did a good job of it. So, but I do believe it's some kind of craft, and I really respect for people to have their own ideas. And you know, if they think it's a leaf that looks like it's been eaten by a bug some, I say look at the leaves around and you'll see that they're all still green. If they think it's a pancake, I don't know where they got pancake, but really a lot of people said it looked like a pancake. I don't know how that came about, but the resolution might be different, you know, after it's transferred through or something. But I would really love for somebody who's a very good professional that has all the right equipment to be able to look at some of these hundreds and hundreds of pictures I have. Some of them aren't really, you know, very impressive as far as what they are just looking at the picture. But if you know the story of how I followed them, I went from point A to point B to point C, and you can watch them either morph into larger or smaller, or the fact that certain ones stay together. And so far, I've seen maybe four or five different, absolutely different types of orbs. They have different features on them. You know, like some look like, I call them the Earth because they're like blue and brown, and they just look like a little Earth, you know, as funny as it sounds. And then there's ones that look like your little typical alien head, you know, inside the orb. And then there's ones that actually look like a cat, you know, just the features of it look like a cat. Let's see. Oh, there's some that look like a little, like a clown almost, you know, like it would have a big red nose or something.
Mm-hmm.
But these are features that even I cannot get out of the computer once it's put on the computer, but I could see them plainly while they were still on the camera, you know, and when you look at it and you enlarge the photo while it's still, you know, on the camera. But I really would love to be able to have the technology to be able to blow them up and keep the resolution, because some of them have the most fantastic faces, and some of them, I'll tell you, were not very happy about me chasing them around with my flashing at them, because you could see the look on their face was like, knock it off, you know.
We have to take a break. When we come back from this break, we will continue our conversation with Becky Lewis. Really unusual photographs here of some kind of object in the sky. See what you think. Is it an object, or is it an entity, or what? I don't know what it is. We'll continue on the other side of this break.
Somebody find my phone. You see, I don't remember nothing. I just found myself alone. Somebody needs to help me. Cause now I ducked out on the limb. Yeah, with nothing to protect me. You're telling me that I need to give you more. But what you said just the night before. I don't remember what happened that day. I see you found the door. I could have done more. And I do too much drinking. But I always stop when I hit the floor. And now you're telling me that I need to give you more. Than what you said just the night before. I don't remember what happened that day. I see you found the door. Somebody tell my baby that I'm lonely and alone. And I've been calling her all day, but she won't pick up the phone. And now you're telling me that I need to give you more than what you said just a night before. I don't remember what happened that day.
And we are back. My guest this evening is Becky Lewis. Becky, you said that you used to think that these orbs that you see are were maybe spirits. And so what do you think they are now?
Well, considering that we return to energy when we cross over, I think that maybe some of them are spirits, and maybe some of them are spirits of beings of other worlds, and maybe, for heaven's sake, some people could be dreaming and be out of body for all we know. Because some of them actually have faces. It's scary.
This,
I mean, in a way, not very scary, but it really, it's uncanny how it's not like you're just trying to see something in there. It's like you can see the faces.
All right, now, this UFO that we're looking at, and I'll call it a UFO for now. Well, it is. It's something in the air, and we don't know what it is, so it's an unidentified flying something.
Exactly.
Do you think it's possible? I mean, on the one hand, it could be a vehicle of some type. On the other hand, is it possible that what we're looking at there is some type of living entity.
Oh, absolutely. I believe with all my heart that, that especially the way that some of these have responded when being questioned, you know, requested to do things, and which, by the way, my husband sent you some more of those pictures, and one of them is the one that I said I caught it in transformation. But, you know, it's hard to tell exactly what they are, but I believe that that craft, if that's what it is, a craft, it very well could be an actual living thing. But by looking at it, at least from the original photo that we have here, it, to me it looks like an actual craft, and you can see a dome on top. And
looks like it's got
something in there.
Well, it looks like this dome on the top, there are a couple of dark areas, so it could be windows, or that may be scoops to scoop up air, like a ramjet or something. But, you know, I've sort of tried to imagine if you turn this thing so that it's not slanted as it is, and turn it around where we're looking at it head on, you know, it kind of has the same appearance or shape of a stingray or manta ray.
You know, that does look, you know, I guess you're right. If you look at it head on, it would look sort of like that, because the way they're flat, but yet they have enough structure that you can see they're a living being.
And, you know, it seems interesting to me here, this dark area under it. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that it's shadowed, because although many people, including professional photographers, wrote me and said, well, there's no way that could be the light from your flash. But I believe it is, because I have taken lots of pictures in that same area, and the flash has reached that point. Well, they say, well, if it's up there, there's no way, because you're down, excuse me, down on the ground. Well, from where the tree line is, it goes downhill from our house. And so, you know, plus I was on a porch, which was elevated, and on top of that, I had my hands over my head. So I think there's a chance that the light of my flash reached top of it, and underneath of it is shadowed. But I can't be sure, because I'm not a professional, and like I say, I didn't even know that I had captured it. So I don't know, but the sun was barely starting to come up. It wasn't even light. It was just where the sky just starts glowing with the knowledge of morning, you know?
Well, and you can see that in the first photograph. You can see that the sky is light, not bright.
Other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, because that's facing north, and the sun, if it would have been the sun, which it wasn't, but if it had have been, it would have been coming from the far right and back, you know, down at the bottom. And so there's just no way it was sunlight. Even if the sun would have been above the horizon, it still couldn't have been sunlight. So it was either the flash of my camera, or as some people suggested, it was self-illuminating.
Well, it may be that. Very well could be.
But, you know, and other people still suggested that maybe the lights from those other orbs were giving off enough light that they lit the top of the craft. You know, there's just many possibilities.
Now, you didn't see it at the time.
Yeah. No, but I wish I had.
Why? What do you suspect is the reason why you didn't see it?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe because I wasn't even looking there. Because if you look at the perspective of the photo, the direction of the orbs, you know, what you see in the larger, in the full photo, not the blow-up of the craft, but the full photo, on the left-hand side, you see something that looks like silver streaks. But that's actually a wire. That's the wire that goes from our house out to the, you know, to the electricity. So That's how high up my arms were. And I wasn't even looking in the direction of where that craft was at. I was looking at the orbs that were going, you know, up past the wire. So, unfortunately, and as fast as I have seen a craft that was as big as a mountain take off instantly, I would say that when I captured whatever that was, if it was a craft, you can see that perhaps what I see is that it's already lifted itself up off of its possible perch and tilted out off to the right, like to take off. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so if that were the case, then even by the time I got done taking that picture, got my arms down, it would have been gone. That fast. Or turned into an orb, because the pictures, you know, following those, where I actually got down off the porch and went to the yard, I was still getting more orbs. And I've got three or four shots, you know, like not directly in a row, but with a couple of shots in between, where I kept catching this yellow orb. So, you know, who knows? Because I've got so many different colored orbs here that I've captured, and with that craft being as yellow as it was, who's to say that it isn't one of its many forms that it can take?
Well, that's true. The fact is we just really don't know what it is. However, it looks more organic to me than it than looking just like a vehicle. On the other hand, the color of this craft, maybe it is not this color. Maybe the craft is reflecting a color from something.
Right.
We really don't know.
All around it would be green if it was reflecting anything, unless it had another orb next to it and it was just completely reflective somehow. But the fact that I can't see them directly, but the flash catches them, somehow makes me think that maybe they have some kind of a cloak, and that the flash itself reflects off of them and, you know, captures them. Because I've tried many times to take pictures without the flash and yet nothing.
That's an interesting phenomenon.
It is. But just so, let me be fair, I have captured orbs in just about every place that you can go. And just this past weekend, we were at a function for my son, little derby car races. And inside the building, taking pictures in there, there's just orbs everywhere. And, you know, some of it could be dust, yes. You know, they cleaned the place really well before everyone came in, but of course people could bring in dust. But the ones that are really brightly lit that look like a cell, the way we used to know what a cell looked like before they got better technology.
Uh-huh.
You know, looks like it's got a glowing edge and it's all alive and just vibrant, you know. And just really lit up. And so those, I don't believe, are dust. Could there be dust in there? Yes. But we've gotten orbs at the fair and in places where one picture has them and the other picture right after it doesn't. And the one after that we might have the same one, only in a different location. And if it were dust, there would be many, many of them, and they wouldn't be moving, you know, about.
Now, they wouldn't follow you from place to place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We are just seconds away from taking a break, and I would like for you to share with us, when we come back from the break, I would like for you to share with us this story about the pyramid UFOs that you saw in, I think you said it was in Idaho, and it was in what year, 1983?
Yes, it was 1983.
All right. When we come back, I want you to share that with the audience. I found it fascinating, and I know there will be questions and comments about that as well. So that's what we'll do when we come back.
All right, folks, we're talking with Becky Lewis. Becky has some strange photographs of some strange things happening in her backyard, and we're talking about one of them that looks like some kind of strange UFO. You may have a comment about what you think it is, and we'll open the phone lines in the next hour. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
Sleep, can't even breathe, but that won't change soon. If you're lonely, ask her, she owns me, she lives in my room. Make up your mind, leave the boy behind. Melt me and drag me down, down into your mind. My clothes are burning, I'm out. See, all I need is the charging love for me. My eyes are blurry, they need you loving me. I know what it means, but it's unconditionally.
Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. We're talking with Becky Lewis, and Becky has, I've been able to look at some of those photographs you mentioned, Becky, pretty amazing stuff. I am going, if I have your permission, I'm going to post those on the website so people in the next few days can take a look at them.
Yeah, certainly, no problem.
All right, now, in 1983, you had a UFO sighting that is not like everyone else's. You know, most people who see UFOs either see sort of a circular object or they see a triangular object. You saw pyramids. And I'd like for you to take us back to 1983 and share that story with us.
Okay, well, it's actually even more unbelievable than it sounds because, well, I wouldn't even know where to start far enough back for the strangeness that lines up with this. But in short, I had never even known that my father had family. And just about a year before he passed away, he told me about his brother, my Uncle Bob. And so I was so excited to find out that I had an uncle, and he had a daughter my age, my cousin Cindy. Well, lo and behold, when I rush out there as quickly as possible, I mean, within 1 week of finding out, I make plans to go out there. And when we met each other for the first time, you could have had to pry our jaws off the ground because we were twins. Absolutely twins. You know, it was uncanny. But stranger still, 3 days before I got on the bus to go out there, I had a dream of the entire experience that we had up to a point. And then from that point on, you know, there was no more dream. It was just everything was cold. So, but it was just the most unbelievable thing. And what had happened was when I got out there, the night after I got there, my cousin Cindy and her friend Brian that she had known all her life, and I went down to the dock on at Elk Lake. I don't know if that's actually the technical name for it, but that's what they called it, Elk Lake. And they're in Elk River, Idaho. And it's a really tiny little town. I mean, there's only like probably a couple hundred people there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's way up the mountains. So, but how this river ran through there, it made like a lake way up in the mountain, so it's kind of like a bowl, but you're way up in the mountain, not at the base of the mountain. But anyway, we were out there on this dock, and when it started, I told them, you know, first thing that happened was I started seeing these strips of cloud. It would look like a contrail from an airplane, you know, or actually, in today's terms, it would be chemtrails, wouldn't it? But it was very thick, and there were three of them, and they came from the left of, you know, where we were at on the dock facing out towards the water. It was on the far left. And so there were just three strips of clouds coming up, and that's when I told them, oh, my gosh, you guys, I just dreamed about this before I came here. And I started telling them what was about to happen, just word by word. And then, you know, I told them I need to run and get my glasses. So I ran down off of the dock to the car, and by the time I got my glasses and closed the door and started heading back, there were three more sets of three strips of, like, white clouds coming straight up. And these were facing exactly head-on from, you know, from the dock straight out. And so then by the time I got back to the dock, three more strips of white clouds were coming straight up, and they were from the far right. So now we've got three sets of three white striped clouds, like, but they were stripes just going straight up. And they were like in unison, side by side, three all together, right beside each other. in the left and then straight on and then off to the right. Wow. Sorry, I get so shook up talking about this because it was just so amazing. But anyway, by the time the three sets of clouds had all come up to a certain point, which is like not all the way head over, but almost directly head over, over top, which was like actually directly over the lake. And so where the three sets of the three clouds on each side, you know, the left, the forward, and the right, where they all three came up, those three, the first three joined into one, the second three and the third three all did the same thing. They joined into one cloud, and then they stretched all the way up to right over the top. And then the three sets of three wrapped around, like the one on the outsides, the left and the right, wrapped around to the one in the middle. And then it became all one big, fat, white, striped cloud. And then that stretched itself all the way up and over into an arch, and it made like an X across the Milky Way, because it was so dark out there you could see the Milky Way like a stripe out there, you know. But the way that stripe went over made it look like an X, and it was so amazing and beautiful, just that by itself. But where each of those three sets of three cloud stripes had come from, then after that arch was done being made, where all those cloud things had been, then three triangular, or not triangular, but pyramid little craft came up, and they were all in a pyramid like shape, like one on the top and then two on the bottom. And so every, on all three of those places where the three clouds had been, and then the three sets of three craft came out of each one of those. And then the three of those, all three of those sets, you know, the first three, the second three, the third three, all nine of those craft all came together in a pyramid of their own, like three on the top and then the little three on the left and the right, mm-hmm. and then they kind of like tuned in and made a little pyramid. And then, oh my God, after that was done, and everything was so quiet. And you have to remember, even though this was in the summertime, it's way up in the mountains, and so it's pretty chilly up there. We even had our jackets on, you know, because it's really, really chilly up there at night in the mountains. But anyway, all of a sudden, it got really warm, and you can start feeling this really low vibration deep, even under your feet. And so even though the water had been still, you could see the water starting to, like, slap up against the dock, you know. It was just like, back up, and, you know, against the dock. And you could feel the dock just vibrating, you know. Mm-hmm. And then from behind us, where the bench was that we had been sitting at, where it faces out, from behind us, where there weren't any little clouds or anything that came up from there. But there was, you know, just the whole big mountain back behind us. And then from behind that mountain, this humongous, the size of the mountain, I bet you it took a good 2 minutes just to clear the mountain and come up from behind it. This thing was so huge that, you know, we were under it. We couldn't even see the whole thing at one time, because it was so huge, you know what I mean? We were under it. And it came up from behind us over that mountain, and it hovered right over where we were for maybe a minute or two. And this is where the one place that I had the dream was different than what actually happened. And it was like I told them, you know, when the craft was going to come over and we started feeling that humming, and I told them, guys, this is the one I'm telling you, the big ship, because I had told them real fast what was going to happen, you know, about the three clouds and the craft and then the big one from behind and all that, because I already had seen it in my dream, you know. And I told my cousin Cindy, you know, then these lights were going red, yellow, blue, red, yellow, blue, red, yellow, blue, and then they got faster and faster until they were all one. But in reality, when it happened and the light started, it was red, yellow, and green. And so and then it started doing that red, yellow, green.
Okay, Becky, we have to take a break. It's taking over, and it's going to cut your microphone and mine off. So we'll continue with this story, amazing story, when we come back. Welcome back. We are talking with Becky Lewis, and we're talking with her about a very strange experience that she had back in 1983. Now, when we had to cut away for break, Becky, you were telling us about this huge pyramid that was coming up from behind you.
Right.
Yeah, well, okay, and so everything's vibrating, and there's a low vibration, and then what happens?
Well, after the craft had come up and over, and it was directly over us, the lights had started with the red, yellow, blue, you know, and it started going around faster and faster until it was like so fast that it was like one. You know what I mean? It was just blended in.
Mm-hmm.
You could feel, you could not hear anything loud, but you could feel. You ever been in front of a really big speaker at a concert where they're playing bass, you know?
And mm-hmm.
you can feel that really deep vibration all the way through your whole body,
mm-hmm.
and in the pit of your stomach. Well, that's what it felt like. And you could hear this really low, you know, just really deep, low hum is all you could hear. And then as we stood there, not being able to say anything, this thing just, as it powered up, it, you know, you could hear that until it wound up, and then it lifted itself up to the level of the other craft, which was, you know, I'm so bad at how many feet something is away, but if I had to, I'd say it was probably, you know, like at least a football field up from the water, where those other craft were over there just sitting where they had come together. And then it went up and over the other craft, and even though we didn't see a door open or anything like that, those craft that were come together, the smaller ones, just went up inside of it. And then the thing just slowly started to take off, and then it just, zoom, was gone in a flash. It looked like it was another one of the stars, just that fast. Well, we were just like not knowing what to say or do, because, you know, I mean, we could actually see the panels on this craft. It was so close. You could see the metallic. It was like a shiny metallic. And even though it didn't have any screws or rivets or anything like that, all in the craft, to match the shape of its sides, you could see was like these little indentations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if it would have been a screw or a rivet, you know, but it was just little indentations. But anyway, after this thing went over and those other craft went in, it took off. My cousin Cindy and Brian were just like in shock, and I'm yelling, come back, why are you leaving, please don't leave, you know, because I had that dream, I thought I was something special or something, you know, I thought maybe, like, I was supposed to go or something, you know, who knows, I was 18, but anyway, so this thing had taken off, and so I'm like, come on, you guys, come on, let's go, and so we wanted to follow it up as high as we could, go to the top of the mountain and see if we could see it farther, you know. And then I had to go to the bathroom after we climbed about three quarters of the rest of the way up that was left to get to the top, you know. And I didn't want to get out and go, because you're in the mountains and it's deep woods and there's bear and all kinds of stuff out there, you know. So I said, well, can you please take me back to the house? I really have to go. So we got back to the house, and while I was in the bathroom inside the house, lo and behold, unbeknownst to me, when I came back out, my cousin Cindy was sitting there with just like an absolute blank stare on her face, and Brian was sitting there almost like in shock with tears, like just running down his face, okay? And I said, what happened? It's okay, you guys. We're home now. It's okay. It's over. And she said, my cousin Cindy said, no, Becky, you don't understand. She said, while you were in the house, she said, balls of light were flying all around the house and all around this car. Just little balls of light were flying all around and around the car. And I guess it really freaked out Brian so bad that, from what I understand, he's still having problems to this day about it. And, you know, some people can handle things differently than others, but unfortunately he had a lot of stuff crammed down his throat about certain religion, and so, you know, you believe things are a certain way, and when he went home and told his parents about it, because he was Indian, Native American Indian, and his adoptive parents were white, so, and they were really strict Christians, and so they thought I was a witch because I had the dream about it. And so we were never even allowed to speak again because I was such a bad person for having known that was going to happen.
Well, you're fortunate that they did not burn you at the stake.
Oh, I am, because in another day and age, they just might have.
They might have. We have a caller on the line, so let's go to the telephones. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Vicki, that's an interesting story, but I'm looking at this picture right now, the blow-up, and I'm going to ask you to imagine a yellow cloth sombrero, and it looks to me... It's kind of like a cloth sombrero falling in the wind. You got the
falling
back.
In the wind?
Yeah, like it's like. This is just my impression of this picture of this unidentified flying object thing. It looks like a sombrero that has a cloth sombrero, not a firm straw one, but a cloth one. It looks like something that might. If you were to put a sombrero, like the cloth sombrero, in front of a fan and push it up in the air,
how would you get it behind that tree?
I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying that's what it looks like to me.
Oh, you're just saying it has that general impression, huh?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's a 90-foot tree.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that's my general impression of what it looks like.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's not the strangest thing I've heard. So.
Okay.
You know, I thought it had the shape of a Pringles potato chip.
I don't see a Pringles there. I'm sorry. I see a stingray.
Yeah. Well, see, you're seeing it from a different view.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at it from a view of head on in your mind, and so, and I can see that. I can see that when you say that. You know. But I do think that you're right. It could be something that's actually alive. Who knows?
Well, and I'll tell you in a moment why I say that. But first, let's take this call. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. Yes, this is Kevin in Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Yes.
And, Becky, I have a question for you. This might sound a little weird, but your family, is there any history of UFO contactee in your family at all? Whether it be a lot of members of your family seeing UFOs or dreaming about UFOs, or even if we go like very far-fetched, maybe claims of UFO abduction?
Yeah, actually, when my mother was a little girl, she lived here in Cicero, Indiana, and her mother and father had been asleep out on the porch and came and woke her up and had her come out and look, and there were three craft out there. She doesn't remember, you know, much about the shape of them or anything, just that there were like three of them, and she remembers red, but she doesn't remember, you know, much of anything else, but that it did have different colors. She just doesn't remember, because she was little. And then the night that I had my experience with my cousin, we told my uncle about it the next day, and he told me that the night previous to that, the night before I even arrived, that very craft had been up over the house, but that he didn't know me well enough to tell me, and so he didn't mention it. But, you know, who knows? But, yes, to answer your question, it is in our history.
All right. Folks, the telephone number, I haven't given it out yet, but some of you know that. You know it by memory, and that's a good thing. That means you're listening every night. But it is 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. And if you have a comment or a question about anything that we're discussing, please feel free to call. I pay for the call. And if you are outside of North America, that number does work, but it is not toll-free. So what you can do if you're outside of North America is send me a Flash message. That's just an email. And you address it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. I will read your message. And then we will ask Becky to comment about it, all right? So flash@kevinsmithshow.com, or if you're inside North America, you can use the toll-free number. All right. Now, Becky, this huge craft that came up over you when you were at the lake, now, I understood, and maybe this is not correct, but let me ask. I understood that it was a pyramid shape as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you said that it was huge.
Absolutely huge.
How big would you say it is?
You know, I'm really bad at judging size. But if I had to just give some wild guess, I'd say it at least be the size of, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 football fields across. It was just huge.
And it was making this vibration, right?
Yes.
Other than that, no other sound?
Not a sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, well, actually, it was just like a really deep, deep, low, low hum.
Mm-hmm.
Like the vibration itself was coming from the hum or making the hum.
One of the flash messages that I've just gotten in says that the photograph looks like the top of a mushroom.
Wow, I hadn't heard that one. But, you know, there's some pretty colorful mushrooms out there, and I just want people to keep in mind that isn't touching anything. It's not on the ground, and it's not against the tree. It's actually free-floating. I'm not sure if it's above my tree or if it's far away. My husband believes that it's actually a craft that's huge and that it's far away, farther away, you know. And I think that it's small and above the trees. But, you know, that's a debate for home, I guess.
How many folks have you shared this story, the story that happened in 1983, your experience with the UFO? How many folks have you shared that story with?
Well, over the years, there's been a few people, but not too many, because it's pretty involved and it's pretty emotionally involved. And also, on top of that, I've lost touch with my cousin Cindy, and it's very distressing, and I really hope that I can find her again.
Well, there's always the possibility that she may be listening to the show. And if so, then she needs to get in touch with you. And she, if she doesn't know how, she can email me, and I will get you connected. Let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show.
If you need help.
Oh, very good, very good. Don't do that, folks.
If we need help, we'll talk to the next caller.
Yeah, that's... I'm not distressed by UFOs, but I am distressed by people who cannot understand how to hold on when you put them on hold. All right, 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. Cindy, I'm sorry, I was still thinking about your cousin. Becky,
okay,
you're...
what
do you make of this pyramid shape? Why pyramids? Most people don't see pyramids.
No, and in fact, I've only heard of one other public, or should I say publicized, incident of it, and I can't remember exactly the name of the place, but they had it on one of the UFO shows, and the police officers had seen a pyramid craft that had landed. And you know what I believe is that what they saw is probably like the scouts, like one of the three, you know, like one of the 9 ships, that the smaller ones. It could have very well been something just like that, you know. But who knows, you know.
All right, let's go back to the telephone line and see if we have a caller or a recording. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brad from Indianapolis.
A real live caller, Brad. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I think she knows me.
Okay.
You might mention or have her mention to you when she talks about the orbs in our backyard that she can...
Oh, it's my husband, Brad!
She can actually feel the orbs go through her, and we have actual photographs where she says, an orb is going through me, and we've got a photograph of one where it has gone through her and it's sitting on her chest. And she, and we have a photograph where she's pointing to an orb and photograph with the orb at the end of her fingertip. And then our 14 or 13-year-old was standing next to her, and he says, look, there's a purple one. And I took a photograph, and sure enough, there was a purple orb between he and she. Now, something that she hasn't mentioned to you, which I think is very important for this story, is that she is a sensitive, and she really does talk to these things in the yard. I was never a believer until I met my wife, and it's fascinating. And she's very good at this.
What do you think these orbs are?
I have to rely on what she feels, but we have watched them change shape photographically. You can, with observing a number of the photographs that we've got, see detail faces on the orbs. We have talked about maybe being a dimensional thing where it comes from another dimension and has a portal to where it comes through that dimension into our dimension. It's anybody's guess, but it's after Becky has taken so many pictures and done this for now 3 years, she gets kind of a feel for what's happening out there, and I think what she's explaining is pretty accurate from what I've seen.
Do you see them as easily as she sees them?
No, I don't. When I focus, I can see flashes. And the few times that she's trained me how to do this, I have been able to say there's something right there or a flash there and we'll photograph, and sure enough, there's an orb up there, one of her favorite ones, either the blue ones or the pink ones. But I know I don't see them or feel them like she does.
So you lean towards these being something interdimensional as opposed to being ghosts.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we've talked about this, interdimensional doesn't mean that there aren't spirits coming from the other dimension, whatever that might be, visiting us. And then we've talked, too, about lost ones. My late mother and a friend of hers and her mother, a recent late, being able to catch at a appropriate time right after they pass a misty image in our backyard, and she can talk to you about why that was significant and why we felt it was either my mother or her friend in those cases.
Well, what do you think about this UFO? What is it? Do you think it's a vehicle, or do you think this is a mass of energy, or is this an entity? What do you think it is?
Well, she and I have talked about the transition of the orbs, and we think that maybe it's a. You have to understand my background is I grew up with my dad being a mechanic. I'm very mechanically minded. I'm an architect, so I tend to lean towards graphic explanations, mechanical explanations, and my first impression looking at this is, like you said, it's a craft, it's aerodynamic, it's moving from right to left, downhill like it's banking. I'm a recreational pilot myself, and it's very aerodynamic. It has a canopy on the top. When you use the resolution that we have with our original photograph and blow it up, you can actually see through that canopy on top what looks like a shadow figure in there. It just appears to be a aerodynamically formed vehicle, and what you were talking about on that dark side is the underside of the vehicle. And one explanation that Becky got a response to by email recently was someone suggesting that it might be moonlight lighting up the top of that. And thinking about that, it does make sense, because early dawn, the sun's coming from the right. It wasn't up high enough to illuminate. But from the left, the moon could have been still in the western sky enough to illuminate that from the top up there, which makes sense to me.
Well, in the full photograph, you can see that there is more light to the upper left in the photograph.
Right.
So that could be the moonlight.
But anyway, I don't want to take Becky's show here. She's got more to say to you, and I just wanted you to understand from my perspective, she has a special gift, and frankly, I think maybe she's been attracted to these things all of her life, and they may be following her around. She didn't tell you about the previous house we used to live, about the hauntings there either.
No, she didn't.
I'll let her have that one.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call, and you've added some interesting information to us here. Now, let me ask you a question, Becky, that is purely speculative, I know. But I think any person on Earth certainly is entitled to speculate about themselves. Your mom had this UFO experience, and then you had this spectacular UFO experience in 1983. Did you have any missing time, and did you notice that any kind of abilities changed after this experience?
Well, I wouldn't say I noticed any abilities changed. I would say, though, that I'm just not certain about the time aspect of, you know, how long we were gone or how long I was in the house when I came out, how long, you know, it was before morning. It was just so crazy, and the excitement level was so high, and we were so shocked, you know. But I will say that many, many years ago now, it's been about 10 or 12 years since I was able to get this thing out of between my two fingers on my right hand. I had something in there, and I don't know what it was. I never could figure out what it was. I had put it in a baggie, and then when we moved, unfortunately, I lost it, but it was like an oblong oval shape, and it was flat, but it was sharply oval. It was brown, but it was very, very glossy, and it took me a long time to get that thing out, and I never did really get all of it out. I still have a hole scar between my fingers, and there's still like a knot mass in there, but I've never had an x-ray or anything like that, but an x-ray is what set it off. I had gone in to get an x-ray for carpal tunnel on my hand, and the way they make you force your hand really straight from your fingers folded, you know, real tight, I think that must have done something to make the sharpness, you know, even though it was rounded, you know, thinly. And I think maybe pushing down on my hand so hard like that is what set off that knot starting to raise up, that, you know, started messing with me until I got it out of there.
So do you think that was perhaps an implant that was placed there by some alien beings, or what do you think that was?
I really don't know, and I wouldn't speculate to say that far, you know. But as far as missing time and all that, that's yet another reason. I really did try to get, when I was in contact with my cousin and even the guy that was with us at the time, Brian, I had asked them both to please write out their account of what we saw, because people see things differently, you know. But anyway, my cousin Cindy and I had talked about it, But she had never written out the account for me, and nor had Brian. But I just want to know what they think happened, even though we were all together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to get their perspective on it. We're headed into another break, and we will continue with Becky Lewis when we come back. Folks, take a look at the photographs. I don't know what to make of them. I'm not a photographic expert. I have seen lots of mushrooms. I have also seen lots of sea life. I've seen lots of stuff, but I don't know what that is. What do you think about it? 1-800-289-1092 is the place to call, toll free, and we'd love to know what you're thinking. Maybe you have some questions or comments about it. Maybe you've seen that craft before. We'll be back right after this.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
My guest this evening is Becky Lewis. We're talking about her very strange experiences. One having to do with a massive unidentified flying object, a pyramid in shape.
I guess, Becky, you've noticed that that matches the UFO that plays prominently in Stargate.
Well, yeah, I've seen Stargate, and yes, their craft is a pyramid shape, but one, this was back in 1983, and I had never even heard of that show, and two, it doesn't look anything like that. This thing was completely smooth and sleek, metallic on all sides, and the only thing that wasn't completely flat were these tiny little indentations in triangular formation all over the whole craft. Like each panel was, you know, like they might have been panels in place, but it was completely smoothed in. There was no creases or lines of any kind, and no windows whatsoever.
You are, your husband said, a sensitive. Were you at that time a sensitive? Did you know you were?
Well, I believe, yeah, in my whole life I've had all kinds of strange little things happen and you know, psychic incidences. And I even had what I consider to be a God experience, if that's what you want to call it, some kind of spiritual experience. But that was even before the craft. But
at the time, you were aware of being a sensitive?
Not really aware of being a sensitive, and I didn't know that it was called anything. I just knew that, you know, kids always thought it was humorous that I could tell, you know, if the phone was going to ring, or, you know, when somebody was going to call, or, you know, like, that I was going to hear from, or when, let my mother's ears cringe, when we used to be out when we weren't supposed to be, and we'd be out, you know, partying down some country road, and friends would be all paranoid looking for, you know, police, and I'd tell them, no, you don't have to worry, and but I would always know if one was coming, and I'd tell them, hey, let's get out of here, we're going to get busted, you know, but other than that, you know, nothing to where I could just make it happen. I've never been able to just make it happen. But
well, the reason I ask is I wonder if you have ever tried to establish any type of contact with the entities inside these craft. Have you ever tried to contact UFOs or have telepathic communication with their occupants?
Well, not the craft per se, and I've only had that one major UFO experience, even though I do have a lot of dreams about them. But no, I've never really tried to sit down and make contact with a craft. But now the orbs, I call them beauties. You know, I'll just go out and say, hi, beauties, and I always announce myself so I don't start startling them by just, you know, flashing the camera. And sometimes there aren't any out there, and so I'll sit and talk to them and say, come on, beauties, come see me, you know, and I'll talk to them. But there is one name that I perceived. Was it all in my mind? I don't know. It's a name I've never heard of, or maybe I have and just don't know it. But there's this one blue orb that I love so much that presents itself a lot, and I believe its name is Ariana.
Hmm.
That's just the name that came to my mind, Ariana.
Do you think there's a link between your being able to see these orbs and the fact that you had this UFO experience? Do you think there's any linkage there?
Well, that could be. I mean, you hear about people who have near-death experiences, that when they come back, they're more enlightened and their awareness is heightened. That could be. Now, my cousin Cindy has also confirmed that she had, you know, the same kinds of experiences throughout her life that I did. But on my father's side, he's Native American, and my great-great-grandfather and grandmother of that couple were a shaman and a medium. So, you know, who knows? It runs in the family. But Now, on my mother's side, we've got people that come from all over the place, and you know, people all over the world are so psychic, and many people have just been trained not to believe, you know, in what they can do. But I think that we all have the ability to perceive more than we think.
I think that's true. I would not argue with that at all. Here's something that I've had a couple of people tell me. Well, first, let me ask you, are you part Irish?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's side.
All right. I have had a couple of guests on this show who have said that there is a very prominent stream of being psychically in tune and having UFO experiences and that sort of thing for people who are part Irish and part Native American.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, my mom, that incident that she had, that was just 5 days before the Roswell incident. And then on top of that, the Phoenix Lights thing that happened, they also saw those lights in Prescott. And she lives in Kingman in Arizona. I was born and raised there in Phoenix. But anyway, my mom...
You have my sympathies.
Thank you. I wouldn't want to live there anymore, not in Phoenix. But
actually, I say that and people will think that I don't like this area. I say that because of summertime.
It's so crowded.
It's the summer.
It's crowded in summertime.
Yeah, in the summertime, it is like living in North Hell. It is hot.
Oh, yeah, but it's a dry heat.
I don't care. I don't care if you're in an oven and they throw water in with you, or if you're in there without water, you're still in an oven. But
you're still sizzling, aren't you?
But anyway, obviously I must like it some. I stay here. It's kind of like living on Mars with cactus. That's what it looks like.
Well, and who knows? Mars may have cactus for all we know. They don't know everything about it just yet.
Well, that's true. That is true. I find it very strange, this thing about Irish and Native American.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I've had two different guests that have, their research has shown them that Irish, Native American mixture seems to have a lot of psychic ability.
Psychic ability and UFO experiences?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one I was saying about the Phoenix Lights, before they saw that in was it Prescott or Tucson? I think it was Prescott. Anyway, I can't remember, but it had been in Kingman. My mom had had it just out over her house, and she said it sounded like what an airplane sounds like when it's revving up its engines, you know, the whining of it,
uh-huh,
revving up. But by the time she just even got outside, it was already gone. So she didn't get to see it, but she just heard it, you know. But apparently it had just been right up over where she's at, so... who knows? Are they attracted to certain people like a magnet? Maybe they are. You know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's the Phoenix Lights. I'd like to meet the person that was attracted to, because that was magnificent. That was just huge. And then
it was beautiful.
There, down in Texas, they've had this huge sighting, a gigantic craft. And, of course, all the spin doctors are trying to play it off now and say it was something else. But among the people who saw it were cops and business owners and pilots and people like that, and they're not budging. They're saying, hey, you can think what you want. We know what we saw.
Yeah.
But, it was huge.
They should, and I think more and more people are starting to believe, because there's so many sightings, they don't really have a way to get away from it. But for those really hardcore non-believers, Before too long, I think even they will have an experience, because they seem to really be stepping up the sightings, perhaps on purpose, so that we're, you know, more, maybe just so that we're ready for the announcement that they know is coming. Because I really believe that of course the government already knows they're there. Of course they're already in cahoots with them, you know.
Well,
there's no way that they could be here in the presence that they're in and not have something going on with the government, because otherwise they'd be having constant wars overhead, and you know, the craft would be battling each other so much, and it would be inescapable. We'd see it all the time, and I think that if they didn't have some kind of an agreement with them, you know, to keep their presence at a minimum or in particular locations, I think it would be chaos.
And, well, I hope that we do not get into conflict with them, because I think if we did, this planet would be a wisp of smoke floating through space.
And I think that they could have done that to us already if that's what they'd wanted to do.
Yeah, we're into a break. And we'll be back on the other side of this break. More with Becky Lewis. And more. I've got some more questions about this gigantic pyramid UFO. We'll be back right after this.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
You know, I do not announce in advance the schedule. I don't often. I do once in a great, great while, but I do not often announce in advance, on this certain date we will have this guest. And I'm not going to now, but I am going to tell you that Charles Hall will be with us this week. You want to be sure you tune in each and every night. You want to make sure you don't miss that. My guest tonight is Becky Lewis.
Becky, I want to read a flash message from Tasmania. It says, the bottom of the photo looks like a pot holder that you pick up a hot pan with. The center looks like a flower pattern. Center top looks like a flower pattern. And the three spots on the edge look like parts of a floral pattern. I think that a neighbor has seen Becky taking photos with a flash and thrown a pot holder up into the air.
That's funny. Well, on this particular occasion, that was my very first shot, because I normally take that shot. I call it the shot off the bow. It's the one on the porch right before I go back in. But this time when I came out, I saw the orbs off in the distance, getting shooting upward. So I just threw my arms up over my head as fast as I could and took the shot before they got away. So that was my first shot, and if the neighbors saw the flashing, that would have been the first flash, and they wouldn't have been able to go back in time fast enough to tear the pot holder up.
Fair enough. All right, that was from Jeff in Tasmania. Thank you very much, Jeff, for the flash message. And let me say that we have just a few minutes left. And if somebody wishes to call with a comment or a question, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. Becky, this pyramid, when it appeared above you, there was no sound. There was just this deep vibration. Have you given any thought to why? Why was there a vibration? If no sound, why was there a vibration?
Well, you know, this is not something that I would have thought of, but children are so pure. And my son, my oldest son, is also very sensitive. I've got pictures of him sitting out there doing a meditation, and he's got orbs coming down to him. But anyway, he thinks that it has something to do with magnetism, you know, that they use the Earth's magnetic field to help power their craft. And I say, well, it doesn't sound like it could be impossible, because we have a very strong magnetic field that could be used if you had the technology to harness the power.
Okay, now, do you think that this very deep vibration would have made any changes in you genetically or psychically or in any other way?
That's not something I've ever even thought of, but I suppose anything is possible. I mean, you think about how sensitive we are. So many people are sensitive to the full moon. I mean, for heaven's sake, if it can control the tides on the entire globe, certainly it can control a little bit of water in a human body. So the vibration, you know, could it have vibrated everything within to the point of a particular resonance, maybe setting something in motion? Possibly. I've never thought of it. But, yeah, that sounds like it could be. Although I was having a lot of psychic activity before then, but it could have increased.
And, well, you know, and in fact, you had a dream, and you had a precognitive dream about this.
Yeah, that's the thing that blows me away. And the dream only lasted up until seeing the lights going around and around and around on the craft. That was the end of my dream. But so everything after that was all, you know, cold shower time. And it really, it was a jaw dropper. And I've heard a lot of UFO experiences. But you asked me if I had told many people, and I want to mention I did report years later. I reported it on MUFON, and then I forgot that I had reported it. And so just about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I had called them again and reported it. And the guy said he went back and saw where I reported it the first time, and he said, you know, there's no way that I could have had all those details exactly the same the way that they were unless it was a fact, because normally people are making something up. They get something wrong.
Well, yeah. Yeah. They can hold a story for a few days, but then it begins to slide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I want to talk to my cousin Cindy and the other gentleman that at the time, you know, the kids, we were all teenagers, but young adults. But, you know, I want their perspective, because from what I understand, other people saw it, because the guy that was with us, his sister and her boyfriend were on the other side of the lake, and they saw the craft. And then people in town, I just found out a few years ago, the last time I spoke with my cousin Cindy, she told me that she found out a lot of people in town saw it. I mean, it'd be hard not to see it if you were outside or even awake, because I think the vibration would have woken you up, even out of a sleep maybe, because it was so deep and humming. It just, I can't even describe it, really.
Are there any military bases near there?
I don't know if there are a military base right near there, but I know in Idaho Falls, there's I know that, you know, that nuclear, the school, if you're a nuke in the Navy, you know, there's a Navy base there where the nukes go to do all their training and stuff. So there is a base in Idaho, but I don't know if there's anything near there, because Idaho Falls is quite a ways from Elk River.
How many miles away is it?
Oh gosh, I couldn't even tell you. I really don't know, and that sounds pretty silly, because I lived there for about 6 months. I lived in Idaho Falls, and I never even did any kind of exploring or anything, and that was even after my experience earlier, you know, many years prior. So, you know, I don't know if there's anything else there, but there's a lot of stuff all over the place. And mm-hmm. with all the mountains and everything in Idaho, I think there's probably, you know, a lot of different craft that can hide out in the mountains or even underground or in the lakes, because I know they can go underwater. So many people have reported seeing them go underwater, and it just makes sense that they would hide there.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, there are, I think they call them USOs, unidentified yes. submerged objects, or something like that.
Yes,
but
submerged until they come out.
Yeah,
you know,
there are a lot of stories of those kind of objects that we have from sailors, from people that do that for a living. And, yeah, it's a pretty well-attested thing. Becky, we're just about... we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for sharing this fascinating story with us. I find the orbs interesting. I cannot say that there's a link between that and your UFO experience. But on the other hand, I've got a sneaking suspicion that there may be a linkage. And when I go off the air here in just a moment and you hear me close the program, I hope you'll stay on the line with me, because I'm going to give you a name of someone that you should tell this story to, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank
All right,
you.
Folks.
And I'm just honored. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us. And, folks, the time has come. We're out of time.
thing you can always count on is when you come to the Kevin Smith Show, there's going to be something interesting and mind-expanding, as there will be tomorrow night. My guest tomorrow night will be talking about some strange anomalies on the moon. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.